Hi, this is Jim from Safety Wars. Before we start the program, I want to make sure everyone understands that we often talk about OSHA and EPA citations, along with some other regulatory actions from other agencies, legal cases, and criminal activity. Everyone is innocent until proven guilty in a court of law. Proposed fines are exactly that, and they are often litigated, reduced, or vacated. We use available public records, news accounts, and press releases. We cannot warranty or guarantee the details of any of the stories we share, since we are not directly involved with these stories, at least not most of the time. Enjoy the show.
This show is brought to you by Safety FM.
I know what you're saying. What the hell is he doing on the air on a Monday? That's usually not our style around here. We're usually not on the air on Monday. Yeah, we got some nice new background music here. How's everybody doing out there? I tell you what, you cannot keep me away from a day like today. I tell you what, you're very anxious all day. Let me get this camera here. We're very anxious all day here. At least I am. I'm commenting on this. I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on out there. Let's see. We have... yes, I know I'm on there. We have a lot of stuff going on here. So, for example, we have terrorist attack in Colorado. We've had a... escalation of the war over there in Ukraine. All right. We've had all different stuff going on here. So guess what? We're going to be here. No, there's no way I was not going to be on the air tonight. Rushing around, getting everything all set up here in this hotel room. Yes, that is pizza over my right-hand shoulder here. But anyway, yes. No, I like to cook, but had to be here with you. What a weekend. I mean, on Friday night, I met Doc Gooden from the 86 Mets. What a great thing. We had a watch party at an event in Woodbridge, New Jersey, at the Woodbridge Brewing Company. We brought all different types of memorabilia for that. And no, what was surprising was I didn't see anyone I knew there. Right, Woodbridge is my hometown. I figured I'd see somebody there, but didn't happen. Very great, you know, Doc Gooden, very gracious, very good sense of humor. Sort of like you can have an inside joke with him with just meeting him, right? Like the world's most interesting man commercial there. Anyway, we're going to cut right straight to the... right straight to this Boulder, Colorado story. I mean, it is the number one story out there other than what happened in Ukraine. So, Boulder terrorist suspect Mohammed Sabri Sullivan seemed bruised and bandaged in mugshot after attacking 12 with a flamethrower. Now, we normally do not talk about tactics here. However, if you were ever involved in the Community Emergency Response Team program, it was popular up in my neighborhood for a while there after Superstorm Sandy with Rockland County, and I guess we are still an active group up to a point, but they talk about tactics a little bit. And, no, I don't like talking about them because I'm going to give people ideas, but since we already have this stuff out there and somebody already did it, I'm going to comment on it. Now, everybody's worried about guns. Everybody's worried about, nuclear stuff, and which you should. Believe me, we're going to talk about that, not tonight. We will be talking about that with this escalation in Ukraine. But I tell you what, common objects, common things are what we really need to focus on. For example, and now some of the listeners here that I've worked with way back in the day will recall a project on Metcalf Road, Pratt & Whitney Metcalf Road. We were involved in the shutdown and cleanup way back in the early 2000s. And at the bottom on Metcalf Road, there was, and that's in San Jose, California, southern San Jose, California. We had a situation in 2010 where the power distribution area where they had transformers were shot with 50 caliber bullets. And nobody knew who did it. I don't believe that they ever solved, at least publicly, who did that situation. And then all of a sudden, everything drained out. The transformer oil drained out. And now you had not only an environmental situation, but you had a power substation go down right there in that neighborhood. Now I know exactly where that is. Now we have a situation where we had in New York a couple years ago, somebody get in a car and go on the along the Hudson River. There is a walking slash jogging slash biking path, right, that runs from the Brooklyn Battery Tunnel into the entire length of up the Hudson River, and I believe it ends somewhere by the George Washington Bridge, approximately 12 miles away. Now, during 9/11, when they were evacuating Manhattan, that's what they used to evacuate people up to the George Washington Bridge, and then they moved everybody across the George Washington Bridge and then back down to Jersey City and Hoboken with buses and on foot that day. And also the boat lift from which my Uncle Kenny was involved in, Ken's Marine Service, across New York Harbor to Jersey City, Liberty State Park over there. So, they had those, but a guy got on there and mowed down a whole bunch of people. We had a terrorist attack at a Christmas parade. I believe it was Ohio a couple years ago. Same deal. There's been a lot of talk over the years on wildfires where we had wildfires out there all through the West. Were those a lot of them were man-made, either deliberately or accidentally. Not only for that, and by the way, we have a situation up in Canada with stuff coming through, so we'll probably talk about that later on, out there on ambient air quality standards later in the week. So I'm not surprised here where we have a man who, and by the way, I'm not going to be mentioning his name again. I mentioned it one time. I probably shouldn't have. He was charged with a federal hate crime today. We'll read that we have the charges right here. On Monday, as his mugshot showed him with bruises and a giant bandage on his face after he lit people on fire in broad daylight. And they have a picture of him out there, shirtless, trying to look cool with his glasses on, sunglasses on, with Molotov cocktails out there. Right, the attack targeted a group that gathers weekly to raise attention to Israeli hostages in Gaza at the Pearl Street Mall in Boulder, Colorado. I know where that is, too, by the way. 12 people were left suffering wounds after the fiery attack, officials said on Monday. After he was arrested, Sullivan confessed to the sick scheme, and this is from the U.S. Sun, and said he had no regrets and would do it again because he wanted the victims to die, according to the FBI. He said he planned the violence for a year and specifically targeted what he called a Zionist group, quote unquote, the FBI's affidavit said. Right? We're going to go to that right now. Here you go. Let's get it. I had the complaint right here. Hold on. Give me a second. So here's the affidavit. We're going to, it's not displaying right, so this is what we're going to do. We're going to go, and we're going to save, and we're going to open it up so we can all see it at home. Here. Okay, we're going to do a share screen for your people on video. All right, and here it is, an affidavit. In support of an application for a criminal complaint and arrest warrant. Right? Okay. So this is from, we like to look at this stuff here in case you're a first-time listener or viewer, just because we like to look at this stuff and see what this is. Now, we're trying to go into a little bit deeper into the news. By the way, if I cough into get into a coughing fit, I apologize ahead of time. Getting a cold, I have a cold. Affidavit in support of an application for a criminal complaint and arrest warrant. I, Jessica Kruger, nice German last name there, being duly sworn, hereby depose and state as follows. I seek a introduction and age background. I seek a criminal complaint charging, I'm not going to mention his name, with one count of a hate crime offense involving the actual or perceived race, religion, or national origin in violation of federal law. I am a special agent with the FBI and have been since November 2009. I am involved in investigations of persons suspected of violations of federal law in the state of Colorado and throughout the United States. I have gained experience from conducting investigations through formal training and consultation with local, state, and federal law enforcement agencies, as well as from law enforcement investigations themselves. I have assisted in multiple crime investigations and participated in numerous search and arrest warrants related to such investigations. The facts in this affidavit are based on my personal observations, my training and experience, and information obtained from other agents, local law enforcement, and witnesses. The affidavit is intended to show only that there is sufficient probable cause for the requested warrant and does not set forth all of my knowledge about the matter. Based on my training experience, the facts set forth in this affidavit, that there is probable cause that this person, has violated federal law by throwing Molotov cocktails into a pro-Israel crowd while yelling "Free Palestine" and injuring 8 individuals. As discussed more fully below, acts in furtherance of the offenses under the investigation occurred within the District of Colorado. And then it goes through the statutory authority. So, number 8. According to posts on Facebook, an organization called Run for Their Lives organizes a weekly walk across locations in the United States as a way to call attention to Israeli hostages still being held in Gaza. As documented in the post, the organization walks to Boulder every Sunday and posted about a walk on Sunday, June 1st, 2025. Right? On June 21st, 2025 at approximately 2 p.m., the person threw 2 lit Molotov cocktails at individuals participating in a pro-Israel gathering near the Boulder courthouse. And when he threw the Molotov cocktails, the person yelled, "Free Palestine." The Molotov cocktails ignited in the crowd of people, causing burn injuries to 8 individuals. Sullivan was detained by law enforcement. A black plastic container with a yellow top was found near where Sullivan was arrested. In the black plastic container were at least 14 unlit Molotov cocktails comprised of glass wine, carafe bottles, or ball jars containing a clear liquid and red rags hanging out of the bottles. Near the black plastic container was a black weed sprayer, potentially containing a flammable substance. The clear liquid in the glass bottle's weed sprayer were determined to be 87-octane gasoline, which was determined to contain xylene based on a field test. So they most likely used a HazCat analysis out there, which is a wet chemistry analysis kit that out there, unless they had certain other things out there, like a colorimetric tube or something like that. Law enforcement located on a 2015 Toyota Prius, Colorado license plate, registered in the person parked nearby. Visibly inside the car was red material consistent with the rags found in a black plastic container. A red gas container is in paperwork with the words Israel, Palestine, and USAID. Right? And they seized the vehicle. And he was arrested. He stated, right now, this is what he traveled to Boulder, Colorado in his vehicle. Pardon me. Right? Where was I? So Sullivan stated, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say his name. research on YouTube on how to make a Molotov cocktail, purchased the ingredients to do so, and constructed them. He traveled to Boulder, Colorado in his vehicle with the Molotov cocktails and threw two of the cocktails at individuals participating in a pro-Israel gathering. He also stated that he picked up gas at a gas station on the way to Boulder. He stated he wanted to kill all Zionist people and wish they all were dead. He then stated he would do it again. He specifically targeted the Zionist group that gathered in Boulder, having learned about the group from an online search. He arrived at approximately 12:55 p.m. and waited for them. Throughout the interviews, he stated that he hated Zionist group and did this because he hated this group and needed to stop them from taking over the land, our land, which he explained to be Palestine. He stated that he had been planning the attack for a year and was waiting until after his daughter graduated to conduct the attack. Well, what a wonderful father this is, huh? Also, if true, right? Also, during the interview, the person stated he resides at a certain place with his wife and five children. Stated that he left an iPhone at the house, hidden in a desk drawer with messages to his family. He also stated he left a journal, pardon me, inside his house. According to his Colorado driver's license, blah, 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 they went and observed his wife leaving the home. Right, they went to his residence. The wife then went to the Colorado Springs police office. She brought with her an iPhone 14 she identified to belong to the person and views by other members of their family. Law enforcement officers also observed the storage unit identified by a neighbor to be associated with his residence, which is located behind the residence. In a video, which was posted on the social media platform X during the attack, an individual identified as the person is seen shirtless, facing back and forth while holding what appeared to be Molotov cocktails, glass bottles containing clear liquid with a red rag hanging from the top of the bottle. He is captured on the video stating, how many children killed, and a few moments later, and Zionist. And based on my training, experience, and research, I know that Zionist, and this is the officer who signed the complaint, I know that Zionists mean individuals who believe that in the establishment of a Jewish state and are supportive of the government of Israel. Based on my training and experience, both the wine carafe bottles and the gasoline used to make the Molotov cocktails are not manufactured within the District of Colorado and have traveled in interstate or foreign commerce. That's probably going to be, in there, right? And he's been charged with a federal hate crime, probably along with some other stuff as well. I tell you. Right. What do we gather out of this, right? We've been cautioned since 9/11 that these groups exist. I don't know if he's a lone wolf or part of a larger group, but there are people like that who do exist. We've seen these attacks on both right and left of the political aisle here, and what do we do about it? Got to always be diligent, especially if you're in public. I hate to sound paranoid, but you got to be diligent. If you're paranoid, these bastards win. It's real simple. You can't be that way. And this, too, is part of the safety war that we always talk about fighting.
We're not going to solve it here. I wish we could, but we're not going to solve this whole situation here. This is, at this point,
this has been going on for an awful long time. Right? So who were the victims here? There are 8 victims, according to one report. There is a Holocaust survivor, one report I've seen.
here where, you know, for some, right? Apparently, here it is. He was also charged, I guess, on the state level here. All right. The person was charged with murder in the first degree, deliberation with intent, murder in the first degree, extreme indifference, crimes against at-risk adults, elderly, first-degree assault, non-family, first-degree assault, heat of passion, criminal contempt to commit Class 1 and Class 2 felonies, and the use of explosives during the commission of a felony. Right, he's in jail with a $10 million bond. My question is this. We had similar terrorist attacks in 2020 here, right? And we had high-level politicians fundraising to get people out of bond, get out people out of jail on bond, where they got out and they continued to commit crimes. Pretty fouled up here. Let's see who's going to bail him out. That's what I'm interested. Will anybody bail him out? Don't know. We're going to go to a brief commercial break, and we'll come back at you. You're right. So that's one person murdered here. I mean, it's, you know, worst possible, one of the worst ways you could go is with this. So.
Safety Wars is streaming now. SafetyFM.com.
With your host, Jim Posel on Safety FM.
In the professional safety community, communication and planning are just a few keys to your program's success. The question many practitioners have is, where do I start? Dr. Jay Allen, the creator of the Safety FM platform and host of the Rated R Safety Show, has built a global foundation to help you along the way. Go to safetyfm.com and listen to some of the industry's best and most involved professionals, including Blaine Hoffman with the Safety Pro, Sam Goodman with the Hop Nerd, Sheldon Primus with the Safety Consultant, Jim Pozell with Safety Wars, Emily Elrod with Unapologetically Bold, and many others. As individuals, we can do great things, but as a team, we become amazing. Dial into safetyfm.com today and surround yourself with a powerful force of knowledge and support.
Want to avoid hefty OSHA fines and keep your team safe? Let's dive into the General Duty Clause. The General Duty Clause, Section 5, A1 of the OSHA Act of 1970, is a catch-all rule to cover unregulated hazards. Employers must keep workplaces free from recognized dangers that could cause death or serious harm. For OSHA to cite you under the General Duty Clause, they must prove the following four things. 1. The employer failed to render its workplace free of a hazard. 2. An employee was exposed to that hazard. 3. That hazard was causing or likely to cause death or serious physical harm. And 4. Feasible means exist to free the workplace of the hazard. Employees aren't off the hook either. Section 5B mandates they follow all safety standards. Both employers and employees must work together to maintain a safe work environment. Examples: think lifting above shoulder height repeatedly or working without proper support. Stay proactive. Monitor work areas, apply the four-part test, and you'll prevent those nasty citations and keep everyone safe. Need help? And more information? Contact Jim Posel and the Safety Wars team to help you prevent workplace incidents, conduct safety audits and training. Contact the Safety Wars team at jim@safetywars.com or 845-269-5772. Visit us on the web at www.safetywars.com. Let's build a safer workplace together. Want to avoid hefty OSHA fines and keep your team safe?
OSHA recordables, catastrophic losses, environmental disasters. You want answers? So do I. This is Jim Posel with Safety Wars.
That's my daddy!
So Sorry about that, guys. I had to take a little break there, get something to drink, and take care of the symptoms of this cold. I tell you what, summer colds are... I don't know. Can we even call this a summer cold? I know that the... Memorial Day weekend normally kicks off the summer here in the Northeast, right? But I tell you what, the weather has last week was horrible. I mean, out there in, we went to, I'm very proud of my kids. They were actually the Fat Boy and Fat Girl from the Rockland Boulders professional baseball team over the weekend on their Saturday night game. And we had people there. It was also scout night. And I tell you what, we had, and the Boulders did win. People were out there in their winter coats. I was out there in my Safety Wars jacket. It was freaking cold, to say the least. Now, here we have some news. And for example, if you are running a church, right, and you have employees, you are still subject to OSHA. Charities are still subject to OSHA, especially when there's a fatality here. With this. Now, the reporting requirements may or may not be the same with the OSHA 300 log, but you are an employer. So here we have, I tell you what, I thought this was going to be, weird that this happened once. But then we did a little bit further digging like we always do here at Safety Wars. U.S. Department of Labor cites Orlando Salvation Army after worker falls and suffers fatal injuries. U.S. Department of Labor has cited the Salvation Army after a 54-year-old maintenance worker suffered fatal injuries following a fall while working at an Orlando donation center and saw in November 2024. An investigation of the department's OSHA found the worker was repairing a roof leak when the fall occurred on November 7th. OSHA cited the Salvation Army for repeat violation of exposing workers to fall hazards. A similar citation was previously issued at the employer's Princeton, West Virginia location in January 2020. Now, that piqued my interest here. OSHA also cited the employee for 5 serious violations, including failure to assess workplace hazards, provide fall protection training, and ensure proper machine guarding. 2 other than serious violations were issued for failure report fatality to OSHA within 8 hours of the incident and lacking a hazard communication program, which I'm surprised because the information I have, based on very good source, they actually have like a hearing conservation program there. So I'm actually, because of the bells. Yes, I'm not joking, the bells. So we have on the smartphones, there are apps out there that actually, and it's not a NIST certified situation, but what it is instrument, but it is, no, you have a screening device. That's what I describe it as, a screening device on these smartphones that actually will determine whether you are over the 85 or 90 decibel limit, depending on what applies to you. Right? We're like 30 countries here, so whatever applies to you. And just for grins and giggles around the holiday time, I said, well, let me go and see what their exposure is on this bell, you know, that they're ringing out there with the kettle. Ding, 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 ding. I went out there, that's like 110 decibels, 105 decibels. And they're bang. So I said to somebody who is in the know at the Salvation Army, I said to her, well, you know, what's the deal with that? Why don't they have like an earplugs for bell ringer campaign or something? She says, no, they actually are not allowed to ring the bells up by their ears anymore. They got to be down at their side because they did a noise survey. And I said, oh, wow, that's surprising. And she said, yeah, they actually, she didn't call it that, but that's essentially what it was, right? For the term, you got to have the bell at your side up, but not up by your ear, like back in the old days. So I did a little bit of research here, right, with this. So what I did was I went in the right, for this instance, I said, okay, let's see what they have on the website for your And it says, at 8:47 a.m. on November 7, 2024, employee number one was working on a roof, attempting to locate and repair a leak. While on the roof, he fell through a skylight and landed on the concrete floor. The employee sustained a fatal head trauma, right, with that. And they give an worker was 54 years old, a male. They don't give anything else. When they come out with other information, we'll revisit this here. And here we have another one here. This is from inspection. Wow, a lot of nines in that. Well, the Salvation Army case closes, is closed on 1/24/2025, right, with this. And I tell you what, this is a lot of stuff here. So we'll go through here. So oxygen gas welding and cutting, right? So they got a violation on that. Let's see. That was a 40, right? An informal settlement of $4,800. Let's not give details here. All it says is that it was a specific targeting of them, whatever that means. Here's the next one. 1910-303B08I. And this was general on here, standard siding. Let's see. That's with wiring and electrical. All right, with the design. Electric equipment shall be free from recognized hazards or likely to cause death or serious physical harm. Right, am I reading that correct? With that, V08. Okay, let's see what that is, V08. Electric equipment shall be firmly secured to the surface on which it is mounted. Mounting and cooling equipment, and somewhere in there with that. Here we have next one was 305. It's something again with electrical. B02 was the something wrong with the wiring methods on there. 1910-305, same deal. 1910-1030. C01. Let's see what that was. And that was a bloodborne pathogen violation. C01 violation. What? That's, man, internet is slow tonight. Each employer having an employee with occupational exposure as defined in paragraph B shall establish a written exposure control plan with that. And last one is something with walking and working surfaces, B09, with ladders. Ladders are inspected for initial use in each work shift and more frequently as necessary. So all that stuff goes in there. Right? Now you're thinking, Salvation Army, Salvation Army. Seems like they get into a lot of trouble. This is what I have, and it's two pages here. Right? So they're cited there. Here's another one from April of last year. They had a record-keeping violation from March of the last year. There was a forklift violation. 2023, there was a big one here. Nine violations. 2023 was not a good year for safety at the Salvation Army. This looked like on the state level. And this was state-issued things. And they're substantial amount of money here with this. And we would have to go look what Washington, all the Washington things are. But something, you know, you would not think that the Salvation Army has all these violations, but they do. You know, they've been visited a lot of times. So what's the moral of the story here? A lot of times people think that because they work for a charity or a church, they're exempt from all these regulations. Right? So oftentimes, when my experience, and believe it or not, I've been on the church council at two congregations that have had employees. Well, you have employees, you got to follow OSHA regulations. Well, it is. Well, we're exempt. Well, you're exempt from some things with the government. You're not exempt from that. Well, we have freedom of religion. Well, freedom of religion doesn't mean that you have the right to... Does not mean that you restrict the rights to a safe and healthful workplace, right? In that. So, you know, to your employees with that. And I tell you what, it's a little bit of a moral issue here of some sort here with this. Now, my opinion, you know, with that, now, does that mean, well, I'm going to go here and I'm going to say Catholic. Let's see what that is in the established search. Again, I'm not picking on the Catholic Church. I mean, a lot of OSHA violations here and processes, some of them, no, or not. So we're not picking. Let's see Lutheran. Well, I am Lutheran. Again, three pages of violation. I mean, we could do a whole... thing here. I mean, they just don't think about these things sometimes. And or sometimes what happens is, no, you have well-intentioned people here. They don't mean to do this. I mean, you know, who knows? I don't know. Maybe this is a whole new avenue we could explore with churches. I don't know. With that. With that, I'm going to take another commercial break here so I can get some more drinks in here. Yeah, so we are talking about...
Safety War, it's Safety War.
Let's try that again.
From the front lines of the Safety War, it's Safety Wars. With your host, Jim Posel on Safety FM. Get ready to face the harsh reality.
In a world where danger lurks in every corner, one man stands as a beacon of hope. Jim Posel. A veteran safety expert with over three decades of experience, now bringing his knowledge to you with Safety Wars. Engaging, informative, and always relevant. That's Safety Wars. Join the safety revolution with Safety Wars, available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, and wherever you get your podcasts and videos.
Stone so heavy, they don't lie. Caught in the path of a silent cry. No safety net, no guiding hand. In Huntsville's dust, we make our stand. Stone cold silence fills the air. No turning back from what's unfair. A life cut short by carelessness. But paid no mind. Federal standards left behind. One life gone, a mournful sound. Under the weight of stone unbound. Stone cold silence fills the air. No turning back from what's unfair. A life cut short by mess. We mourn in shadows our distress. Concrete jungle steel and strife. We count the cost of every lie. In names of prophets souls are spent. Safety breaks that never bend. Huntsville echoes still remain. A family's heart now scarred with pain. What did we gain? What did we lose? In stone cold silence, we must choose. Stone so heavy.
Right, that was a song, one of the first songs, AI songs we had written here. What's a fatality in Huntsville, Alabama here. Now, let's talk about this here. It's been a long time since we used this. Right? So this past weekend, we had a situation here with an escalation in the Ukraine war. Allegedly, and it's kind of hard to determine whether or not what the truth is here. So Ukraine is alleging that one-third of the Russia's long-range bomber fleet, which they relies on, and the Ukraine war was wiped out with a massive drone attack where they were able to smuggle drones right up to the vicinity, right up almost the fence line, according to some reports. I don't know if that's true or not, of the Russian bases and actually launch them. If true, escalate. I am going to agree with the president on this one. All this debt is bad. Now, there's one Ukrainian family in my neighborhood who the mother heads a charity that supplies missing limbs, right, artificial limbs to people who were injured in the war. And she quotes something like, they get 1,000 requests for limbs a week in this conflict. And that's just them, one organization. So the reality is 100 years ago, those probably would have all been fatalities. But with the displaced people and everything else, I think they need to go and come to some type of resolution here with this. I don't know what the resolution is going to look like or what's going to be acceptable to anyone here involved here. So here we have this is from the Daily Star. Phone smuggled out of North Korea sheds light on mad Kim Jong-un's dictatorship. A number of tactics are employed by the communist state and tried to indoctrinate the public, including taking secret screenshots and autocorrecting certain words. A smartphone was smuggled out from North Korea and has exposed the disturbing methods used by the leader Kim Jong-un to control the country's population. The seemingly normal phone attempts to curb any use of the South Korean slang words, and he even takes an undetected screenshot every 5 minutes. These images are then stored in a secret folder inaccessible to the user, but presumed to be obscene by the communist government. When trying to type the word "opa," which translates as "older brother" in Korean but means "boyfriend" in modern South Korean lingo, it autocorrects to "comrade." A message then flashes up and warns that "opa" can only be used for older siblings. Elsewhere in the word, South Korea was astonishingly corrected to read "puppet state." The film was smuggled out of the Daily North Korea by Daily North Korea, Seoul-based media organization last year, reported that as part of the BBC investigation. Martin Williams, an expert in North Korean technology and information, told the British outlet that such devices are now being used to influence North Korean public. Now, I recall similar things were going on, and probably still are, if I had to guess. In this country, in the West, with smartphones, with the autocorrect feature here. And, not surprised. I mean, we are all being manipulated I mean, we documented this multiple times here over the last 450 episodes. Are you being manipulated, and are you okay with it? Now, that's just what it comes. Are you okay with all this manipulation? We talked about the U.S. Census Bureau about a month and a half, 2 months ago. Are we okay with being data mined? Are we okay with being cataloged for everything? Good question. We're saying North Korea is bad for doing this, but we do the same stuff here. And have the news organizations cover news. That's why I like to go in depth in things. Read the things and let the reader, let the viewer, let the listener decide what those are. That's all part of the safety war that we are all fighting here. Right? Now, as Jay Allen correctly points out in his books, we're going to be talking about what the second book, right, where safety met the second book in the series this week. Here, when I finish it, third book is due out next week, but you can get all three in the trilogy if you go to Amazon.com there. Right, so hold on, let me do that for here. It's Jay Allen, A-L-L-E-N, right? Safety mutation, right? That's what I'm going on right now. Let's see if we share a screen on that. Book number two. Safety mutation, information misdirection, and signal transmission. Right? Great book there. Huge. I tell you, the first book was written in prose, basically. And that was appropriate. I mean, it read really well. Here is information misdirection, where we talk about how to get inside of organizations and everything else. And then, in short order, the next one, the Signal Transmission Trilogy is available there. So, signal omnibus edition, safety, my opinion, safety mutation, safety transmission, right? That's available there. And it's available in hardcover. So, you know what we're going to do? We're going to do add to cart. And God knows what my daughter is from putting in there with that. With that. And we will have him on. We will invite him on. When we read all three of them, I tell you what, phenomenal, phenomenal books here with that. But where were we with this? Now, a lot of stuff going on out there. Now, so when you're communicating to people, it's not only information. You want to be able to make a connection, right? And one of the things that Jay says is people think that they could pull this crap off with safety differently. He didn't say crap. I'm saying crap. With safety differently, human organizational performance. But it's not a repackaging of what we've already seen, and that's often how people see this. You got to be sincere. You got to be accurate with it. You have to, right? Do things, because what happens, and there's also what your organization will tolerate. A lot of organizations will not tolerate human and organizational performance well, because they're used to beating people up. They're used to they're used to making themselves look good. Why is that? There's one organization that runs a lot of oil refineries, and their whole thing, all of their bonuses. And your bonuses are wrapped into their safety matrices, a lot of it. So guess what? When somebody gets hurt and when those matrices are being filled, right? Data's being generated. You run into a problem. Guess what? That's money directly out of their pocket. And in the years gone by, that was compliance, but that's not really where we want to go. That's why safety people, right? We have the song here. You give safety a bad name. Or maybe we'll close out with that at the end of the program. Okay, what else we got here? We're on, right? So we have a measles outbreak here also in Colorado. Colorado has recorded 10 measles cases this year as airport outbreak grows. Colorado has now confirmed 10 measles cases this year after three more people got sick, right? Here, and it is two of the new cases are unvaccinated adults and who passed through the airport same time on May 14th. The third was a vaccinated Arapaho County resident who was a passenger on Turkish Airlines 201. Two doses of the vaccine are about 97% of the effective, meaning that a small number of people develop breakthrough cases. Now, the reason why this is also, I just know this from reading. So COVID, normally if you get COVID, and let's say you're have non-vaccinated people around, the numbers state of based on my training and education and experience that that 4 to 6 people are going to be infected by that. With measles, it's 4 times that number. One case, you could potentially infect 16 people on average. So this is highly infectious disease here with this. We had people in my neighborhood, one woman in particular, before COVID, decided to go into the local department store and get people sick because she had measles. Right? Well, they used to have measles and chickenpox parties way back in the day. With that, well, get everybody sick, then they have a herd immunity. Here we have some stuff on the economy. Walmart quietly jacks up prices despite Trump's demand for retailer to eat the tariffs. Walmart has quietly been hiking prices on items ranging from toys to office supplies, with some markups reportedly climbing more than 100%. I tell you what, I did some clothes shopping last week at Walmart. Empty, or 2 weeks ago at Walmart. Empty. Consumers are financing their groceries. What does this from the New York Times? What does it say about the economy? Increased use of buy now, pay later loans may signal shifting consumer habits, would also be a troubling sign of stress. Here we have in Italy, Mount Etna volcano erupts with a massive ash cloud and a lava fountain. Mount Etna, the rambunctious volcano on the Italian island of Sicily, grumbled back to life on Monday, spewing hot ash and lava in a pyroclastic flow, the nation's volcano monitoring body said. Right? Well, volcanoes, wars, right? People running for their lives. I see there's one video here. This is safe to travel to Sicily after Mount Etna eruption. The volcano, one of the most active in the world, erupted again on Monday. Here's what you need to know if you have a trip. Volcanic, there should be code red for aviation due to eruption. Right, so there's a code red for that. Here's what you need to know. Is it safe to travel to Italy? The answer is yes, but keep an eye on things. Okay. What did he expect them to say? No, run away, run away. Right. This is this is Star Wars level shit here, right? Tony Blair, Britain should have AI doctors and nurses. The former PM says humanity is entering its biggest transformation since the Industrial Revolution, that it's absurd not to do more with the NHS. Story is from archive.is. Britain should embrace a future AI doctors, nurses, and even teachers, or risk being left behind in the biggest upheaval since the Industrial Revolution. I tell you what, any of this AI stuff, the learning does not have. And it's what Jay Allen says in his 3 books here. At least I'm, almost done with the second book. Connection. Gotta have connection. I doubt AI will inspire people to do better. I doubt AI will go out there and want you to be a better person, unless it's through some kind of coercion, and want someone person's opinion on what right is, and what morality is, right? The person programming that stuff. And it does have a mind of its own. That's what's coming, people, here. The former PM says humanity is entering the biggest transformation. Okay, so I tell you what. Will AI then do the cost-benefit analysis? Computer programs reportedly have been doing that for an awful long time for insurance companies. Well, this is a 55-year-old guy. We could get all of this amount of money out of him for the next 10 years. Low risk. Well, guess what? He has an accident. We'll save his life. Versus, hey, this is a 75-year-old person. This is going to cost us more money in the long run. Let's not treat them, and let's give them palliative care. Similar to what a former U.S. president, the one before Trump, had said, right? With that, oh, that's taken out of context, Jim. That wasn't taken out of context, right? I mean, again, responsible use of AI. What is that responsible use? You want to take the human completely out of that equation? We're asking for a problem. Now, this is what happened in early 2000s to a close friend of mine. Here we have from futurism.com. Computer science features high unemployment rate. Learn to code backfires spectacularly as comp sci majors suddenly have sky-high unemployment. So what happened? They went and they flooded the friggin' market. Now, low wages? Not enough jobs. According to this article, it's basically what it comes down to with this. So, phone smuggling, what did they think was going to happen? What did they think was going to happen here? So that's all I have. What do we got? How much time we have left? No news over at the EPA today. We'll, God willing, be here tomorrow. I intend to be here 4 days this week. We're already down, 1 day down. Let's see where this goes for day two. So it's been great hearing from you. We're going to go out with our outro. And then with our usual, AI music. That's what we do here. For Safety Wars and Safety FM, this is Jim Polzel. Have a great night.
The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are those of the host and its guest and do not necessarily reflect the official policy or position of the company. Examples of analysis discussed within this podcast are only examples. They should not be utilized in the real world as the only solution available, as they are based only on very limited and dated open source information. Assumptions made within this analysis are not reflective of the position of the company. No part of this podcast may be reproduced, stored in a retrieval system, or transmitted in any form or by any means, mechanical, electronic, recording, or otherwise, without prior written permission of the creator of the podcast, Jay Allen.
And this is going out to the victims of the terrorist attack this past weekend. Don't be one of these safety guys. that this song is dedicated to.
You turn protection.